Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
In fact, we're more than halfway through our middle show of the work week, which means we are technically closer to the upcoming weekend, which is crazy to me. We get deeper and deeper into November. We're now just weeks away from Thanksgiving. I look ahead on the NFL schedule, and in 3 weeks, it's December games. What? That's crazy. In fact, a few people have asked me in the last week, when are you going to decorate for Christmas? Oh my gosh. How about I get a turkey for Thanksgiving dinner first, and then we'll talk about decorating for Christmas. But yeah, I know there are some people who've already decorated. I was leaving my neighborhood last night on my way into the office, and I saw the first house in my neighborhood that already has Christmas lights up. So it's all happening. Oh, and yeah, the Walmart, which is where I do my grocery shopping, it has had the entire garden center has been decked out for Christmas and is all Christmas decorations and Christmas trees and all that jazz. They took out, who needs to do lawn work, I guess, in the fall? Forget those leaves. Let's move on to Christmas. So it's coming, but it's almost coming so fast. It's going by in a blur. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Thanks so much for hanging out with us on this Wednesday morning. Good morning to you and happy hump show, your hump day. As we always do, if we didn't answer your question on the air, I will get back to your questions as part of Ask Amy Anything during the day on Wednesday. Now, I do have to go to the DMV on Wednesday. Do you have dread in your stomach, like a pit in your stomach when you have a DMV appointment?
It's horrible.
It is. So I was looking at the required document. So here's what I have to do. I have to get a new driver's license with my new legal last name. And I looked on the list. It's also a real ID for people who don't have those yet or you've gone through the process. I looked on the list of required documents, and it's 1 point for this and 1 point for this and 2 points for this, and you have to pick them from multiple categories. I told my husband, I'm taking every single piece of ID and every bill I've gotten in the last 3 months, because what are the chances you get there and you come up one doc shy? Wrong. I'm not doing this again. It took me a couple months to get the appointment, for heaven's sakes. So I've got this pit in my stomach, and this is what's going to happen. It's mid-afternoon. I'm going to lay down. I'm going to try to sleep. I'm not going to be able to sleep because I'm freaking out over the DMV. Also, I think it's time to get a new photo. Maybe for guys, that doesn't matter. But a lot of times they look like mug shots, and I really don't want to look like a mug shot in my license.
I messed mine up. I'm stuck with
it.
Did
you try to smile? Because they tell you not to smile.
I made a mistake, like with the processing or like payment or something.
Uh-oh.
So they made me retake the picture.
Uh-huh.
And they messed up the picture. So I look terrible on my ID.
Oh,
and
that's the worst. That's right. That's that picture, especially when you renew online or whatever. They sometimes will carry over the photo. But in this case, I have to get the real ID. So I'm sure they're going to require a new photo. The other thing, and this is dumb, it's just me being anal retentive, the where you sign it. And now they ask you to use your finger and it doesn't look anything like your signature. These are things that only I worry about. But yes, today is DMV day. I've been dreading it for a bit, but It's here. So I'm taking my entire folder of documents. So there's no way that they can tell me I don't have what I need. I'll report back. I'll let you know how long it took, though I do have an appointment. You can find me online at A-Law Radio. Maybe I'll even tweet from line. And you can also find our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Again, thank you for your questions. I'll go back and answer maybe while I'm standing in line. Our phone number, 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. Hey, guess who's back? After some type of thinly veiled attempt at load management to start the season and then a two-game suspension, Joel Embiid makes his season debut.
Here's Embiid for three from out top, and that's good. His first basket of the season. He turns with his palms upturned to the sky as if to say, finally, Embiid for three, one-point game.
We would put together a montage of Embiid buckets, except that there aren't many Embiid buckets. He got some free throws in there, but he was rough. It was rough. His debut was rough. So he ends up with 13 points on 2-for-11 shooting from the field. So you hear that one. Tom McGinnis on the Sixers radio network. Few rebounds, handful of assists, a block. Mostly it was another rough loss for the Sixers. And they were hosting the New York Knicks in what is the first game of this NBA Cup, this in-season tournament that feels gimmicky to me. But if the players like it, great. So Embiid looked like he was sucking wind, clearly not in basketball shape yet. He was on a bit of a minutes restriction. And so he says that he's going to get back into the flow pretty quickly. But now they're also just getting Paul George back. Now Tyrese Maxey is out. And so it's been a revolving door for the Sixers to start the season. And after they end up losing to the Knicks, Nick Nurse. Different Nick, spelled differently. Nick Nurse is talking about how they really need to settle in.
We need some more connectivity, and we're not going to get that till we get some minutes together out there, right? But I think there was certainly some flashes of really good play at both ends.
I think it's all about us, just getting on the floor together, learning how to play with each other. But, health is a big thing. I'm back, PG's feeling pretty good. Now we need to get, Tyrese back. And once we're all on the floor, I think, we're going to have a pretty good chance to win some games.
It's one of the benefits of having a really long season, and no one's crying about the fact that Joel Embiid missed the first few weeks. That was intentional on their parts, but they have started out 2-8. And while everything's still on the table, they don't look good, and it could take him a while to find a rhythm. As for his return, he admits he was bent over trying to breathe deeply at different points during the game.
Extremely rusty. That's expected. Thought overall, felt pretty good, health-wise. I think it's just by trusting myself. I thought I was a little timid, so I stuck with a lot of jumpers just to get myself a little comfortable. But as the game goes, I'm sure, just getting back to myself is going to be easier.
Creating good shots for himself or creating a lot of defensive schemes against him, which is creating much easier shots for our guys, right? I think that's part of rhythm, that's part of conditioning, all that kind of stuff.
That is one point that is a good one by Nick Nurse. I'm sure he made other good points, but this one stood out to me. I don't want to make it sound like that was the only good point he made. Even if Joel Embiid is not in shape, and just trust me, if you didn't see it, he's not. There were times when he came out of the game, he's doubled over near the bench, sucking wind because he's heaving. He's not in condition, good basketball conditioning, which is different than just being in shape. And so they've got to work him back into this. It's clear he took a lot of time off, maybe for the knee, maybe just because the Olympics were fairly taxing. And that trip, and first to Vegas, and then to the UAB, and then they're in Paris. I know it was world traveling that took so much out of him. But they need to try to get him back up to speed as quickly as possible. So I hope it happens. Because, that was odd. He's just hanging out near the three-point line as opposed to darting toward the hoop and taking guys strong, and certainly doesn't have the shooting rhythm. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Speaking of shooting rhythm, there was no Trae Young for the Atlanta Hawks. They're trailing by 15 points in the fourth quarter against the Boston Celtics. And here's how you know it was in Boston. The floor was all kinds of green boxes. Why do they have to mess with the courts? Ryan. Seriously, it's jarring. I find myself staring at the court and forgetting to watch what's happening in the actual game.
It's distracting you that there's bad basketball going on.
It takes away from the bad basketball. The Sixers court was blue. It looked like they were walking on water, and for that reason, it felt superimposed. Then the Celtics floor is green, but with boxes. So it's almost like a checks, they have gingham. It's green gingham, if you will, all over the court. It's just disrespectful to the parquet.
I have a theory.
What is that?
Because they already, so half the ads on the courts are like superimposed anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So
they aren't actually written on the
There's
court.
There's no ads.
Right. It's on the TV screen.
It's on the TV screen. So maybe Emirates, who's sponsoring this tournament, wants all of the courts to be a completely distracting color so they can't put anything on the court as a other sponsor.
Okay. So you're saying that it's on
like
purpose.
It's purposeful that it's like one shade of color, very bright.
It's so bright.
So that you can't have like
so
an
bright.
Ad taking away from their sponsorship.
You're being more generous than me. I think it's annoying to the point that they just want everyone to know these are their special games. We have special courts because these are our special games. As in, these are not regular season games. Well, they are. They count toward your regular season, but they're special. And so we paint the court. Actually, it could very well be superimposed and we would never know it, right? Until you get one of those weird kind of buffer moments on TV, like with the gold line. And when a player runs across it, it kind of weirdly disappears.
They cut to a side view of the court and it's just a different color.
Yeah, it's AI. That's what it is. They're using AI. It requires a whole ton of energy. Anyway, back to the game. The Celtics on their green court were up by 15 in the second half. And then all of a sudden, they were not.
Dyson now drives. Dyson in the lane. Little right-hander is no good. Rebound tipped up and in. Onyeka Okongwu just tipped it in, and the Hawks have taken the lead. Atlanta takes the lead. 117-116. White fires it down low to Brown. Brown turns, shoots, gets it partially blocked, and the game's over. And the Atlanta Hawks, shorthanded as they are, they've come into Boston, and they have stunned the Celtics, and they win the first game of the tournament.
I mean, you let your guard down, and this is what happens, although it is a little bit more surprising without Trae Young, except the last time we saw him, he had a pretty rough shooting night anyway. So the Celtics let their guard down. It's clear. Jaylen Brown with a massive performance as he's getting back into the swing of things, but he does miss a jumper at the buzzer, as you hear with Steve Holman on Hawks Radio.
I still give Atlanta credit. They came out and played physical, but me and JT got to be better. We had 20 turnovers as a team, and me and him both had 11 combined.
Joe Mazzulla never pulls punches. He just kind of flat out says that we stunk, in a manner of speaking.
They played harder and they played more physical than we did, and they got 20 offensive rebounds and forced us into 20 turnovers. So you let a team outshoot you by the shot margin like that, and you're not going to win.
I like it. Doesn't have any time for sugarcoating or worrying about anyone's feelings. I don't get too upset or excited about a regular season game. But we did have a caller not that long ago who said to us specifically, there isn't a team in the East that can beat Boston. And maybe that's true on paper, the defending champions. But what we know is true is that if you let your guard down, this is what happens in the NBA. There really is no lead that's safe if you don't keep the pedal to the metal or the all gas, no brakes mentality. But yeah, it's early. And right now, everyone's looking up at the Cavaliers, who started out 12-0. Weird moment in the Miami Heat game. They were on the road at Detroit on their blue court. And late in the game, Eric Spoelstra calls a timeout that he doesn't have, which then, of course, turns into a technical foul and gives these Pistons extra shots plus the ball. Yeah, not something you expect to see from Eric.
There's really no excuse for that. I'm 17 years in. We had talked about it in the huddle. I knew that we didn't have anything. I just got emotional and reactive on that, and I just made a horrendous mistake there at the end. Yeah, you just would have liked to seen this go double overtime. That's the kind of game it felt like. It deserved to go double OT and not have somebody get in the way of that. And unfortunately, you know, even as a veteran coach, I got in the way of that.
You just don't often see it, but also for him to admit that he went over it in the huddle, that sounds like something that I would do. I get all wrapped up in some type of emotion and I forget what the producer told me like 3 minutes ago. And I don't do what I said I was going to do. Again, early in the season, at this point, the only team we're scoreboard watching is the Cavaliers, really. But yeah, kind of a unique moment where it's a what if. Yeah, you got to move on to the next game and let's hope a court that doesn't have a sea of blue painted over the top of it, superimposed over the top
of it. Sea of red.
Sea of red, sea of blue, sea of greens. I swear there are some teams out there with orange. I don't know what the Suns do when the games are on their court, but I would expect to see maybe some purple and orange.
Blazers court. Surprisingly is very good. It's not bad. It's not completely
blinding.
Wait,
no, blinding. What is it? Very good or not bad?
I enjoy it. It's very good to me. It's like charcoal color.
Okay. It's just, I don't know why we have to mess with it, but I think it is because they want to set these games aside so that everyone knows this is not your regular season. It's a different type of regular season. Whatever. It's jarring. It captures your attention, which is probably the idea. Or maybe it's to dupe us as radio hosts into talking about it. There was also a different type of court at the Chase Center, Chase Arena, where the Golden State Warriors were welcoming back one of their own, or he used to be, and it's very weird. But it was a fitting emotional tribute for Klay Thompson and the Mavericks. I still can't get over that Klay and Kyrie Irving are sharing a backcourt. It was good stuff, though. And once the emotion wore off, Steph Curry morphed into his typical closer with the killer instinct and didn't care about Clay's feelings anymore. Good morning to you at A-Law Radio, our Facebook page too. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
A video tribute that says thank you, Clay. Let's get his introduction.
Let's extend our captain hats to the four-time Warriors champion. He's back! Playing his 12th season out of Washington State University, number 31, Klay Thompson!
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Man, what an emotional day for Klay Thompson that morphed into quite a game between the Mavericks and the Golden State Warriors. And the video tribute, if you haven't seen it, it's terrific. I got teary. Of course, I cry when I see other people cry, but it's really fitting. It wasn't long, but they played it right before that intro. I'm not sure I've ever seen quite the reception. Not that players who are revered in one place, one city, with one franchise, don't go away and come back. That happens a lot. But this standing ovation went on for 2 minutes, and they introduced Klay, like you hear there on the Warriors Radio Network, as though he was still a member of the home team, maybe because they're still adjusting to it as well. But I'm glad that the Bay Area still loves and adores Klay Thompson, despite the fact that he wanted a fresh start somewhere else. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, and actually even before he gets out there on the court, if you haven't seen it, I shared the video at A-Law Radio. He walks into the building, so the underbelly of Chase, and there are hundreds of Warriors employees lining the hallway to welcome him back. And they've got their captain's hats, and they're clapping for him and cheering for him, and he gets emotional even then. So yeah, from the very beginning, when he first set foot in the building, he was reminded of how much they cared about him as a member of the Warriors. Of course, won the four championships there, and what he decided is that he felt undervalued with the Warriors and wanted to go elsewhere. So even though the contract wasn't any more than what he had been offered by the Warriors, he ends up signing with the Dallas Mavericks, and this was their first opportunity to get together. So even before we tell you about the game, yeah, he was actually in touch with Steph before he got to the arena.
It wasn't very long. It was a couple text messages, and it was a cool moment to feel the energy from the fans. And especially, you know, all the chatter that I heard, it was all positive, and it just means a lot to myself because I really enjoyed my time here.
And then he talked about the fans, too, and the way that they gave him a two-minute standing ovation and the fact that even as he hit his first triples, the team, even as they're building a big lead, actually went on a 13-0 run, they're trying to beat the Warriors. They've got the early upper hand, but the fans were still cheering for him and so excited to see him again.
It was a really cool experience. I appreciate the fans very much. The captain's hat ended up being a great touch. So I'm such a passionate boater, and saw a lot of familiar faces in the crowd. And, that was a warm-hearted feeling, so it was really cool to see the fans, their gratitude towards myself, and something I will never take for granted. So it was very, very awesome.
Over to Klay Thompson, guarded by Steph Curry. Splash Brother on Splash Brother. Klay goes up, a whistle and a foul. It's going to be on Steph for a reach-in, and Klay Thompson's going to shoot two.
Like, just like in the old times at the practice facility.
Yep.
That's kind of fun to see them one-on-one. Again, many times they've done it in practice, like you hear with Tim and Tom Tolbert, but different in a game that matters. And so the two of them pointing at each other. At one point, Klay hit a three, and he did a Steph shimmy. And so he was talking about that after the game as well, because that's a classic, I wouldn't say patented, but pretty damn close, Steph celebration.
It was an impromptu thing, but when you're feeling it, you do stuff instinctually. So I've done it before. I know Steph's done it many times, so it was fun, a little playful thing to do, and he was kind of surprised I did it, but it was a great shot, and I'll probably still do it in the future. It's I play my best brand of ball when I'm playing loose.
Well, he went out there right away and was hitting from deep, had four triples in the first half, as this was a seesaw affair. Mavericks have 13 points in a row. Then the Warriors, they've got 13 points in a row. And so it does go back and forth. Now, in the fourth quarter, that's where it started to get serious. And nobody's thinking about how Klay used to be in a Warriors uniform. Nah, all those emotions are gone. Instead, Klay hits two triples that gives the Mavericks a five-point lead, about 5 minutes or so to go in the fourth quarter. And then I had this thought, Ryan. All of the years that the two of them were the Splash Brothers in the same backcourt, and Klay used to celebrate when Steph would deliver these knockout blows or when Steph would hit these humongous threes that were so demoralizing for the other team. So this is what happens now when you're a member of another team. You get to watch Steph do that to you, and you get to feel like what it's the emotions and what it's like on the other side when you can't maintain your lead because Steph Curry refuses to lose. Do you ever think about that? Like, he's watched it so many times from next to Steph, and he's been part of it too. Now he's on the other side of it and understands how all of the other sad saps in the Western Conference felt for years.
I think a part of him still celebrated. He's like, oh yeah, go Curry. Like, deep down, he forgot that he was on the Mavericks. And he still thought he was on the Warriors.
Oh, interesting. I know that they've lost a bunch of games. I think four games now by 3 points or fewer. So they definitely need some of these to go their way. But yeah, Steph Curry, emotions aside, turned into that same closer with the killer instinct.
They rise as one at Chase Center. Curry with the ball on the far side. Gets Doncic off the screen. Goes away from the Draymond screen, dribbles in, floater on the rim, crawls over the front, and drop through. Timeout, Dallas. Stephen Curry's got his game face on. Screen by Wiggins. Curry gets Doncic again. Screen by Draymond. Curry gets Lively again.
He wants a three.
Yes, he does. Backs up, shoots a deep three over Lively. It's good! It's good! The Warriors lead by four with 26.4 to go.
That was the moment that Steph had his own, emotional celebration, just went nutso, yelling at the camera, doing his little dance. The crowd's going crazy, so no more cheering for Klay in that moment. In fact, Steph Curry ends up with the last 12 points of the game for the Warriors. So, yeah, all hugs and kisses aside, and there were lots of emotional embraces and emotional moments, but in the end, here are the Warriors, who are sitting at 9-2, and they've gotten some big games on the road, beating Boston. Now a game against the Mavericks, though. Mavericks have started out kind of maudling. So he gets the last shimmy. All of that to say, he has the final shimmy with the humongous three, 26 seconds left. And he, as well as Steve Kerr and Klay Thompson, all emotional about the night once the dub was secured for Steph Curry and the Warriors.
The emotions at the pregame of him, you know, being acknowledged, and the crowd during two-line layups going crazy for him, the video tribute, and I'm so surprised they ran a post up for him on the first play. I blacked out on that one. I wasn't going to let him score, and I fouled him. But it was a pretty special night all the way around. Obviously, we won. It was a great, great finish, but well done all the way around.
I was a little misty-eyed for sure. That was really cool. An amazing moment. Our crowd was great. Klay was great. You could see how much he enjoyed it. And beautiful scene.
Yeah, I just watched his tribute video earlier. Shout out to Double R. He was nice enough to let me see it. But I just didn't want to deal with those emotions, you know, because A, there's a love for Klay that ain't going nowhere. But B, and watching his reruns, we're all a part of that. You know, so then you start to go into the emotion, oh, man, I remember that. Hey, man, on that playoff run, we had to do this to overcome this. And you start to go down those lanes. Let him have that. You watch it for the first time. You deal with those emotions. I had zero interest in dealing with him. And so that was a big thing for me. I just did not want the first time I saw his tribute video to be me standing there watching.
Yeah, it was neat to see Steph and Dre and Steve Kerr and everyone else be part of the standing ovation. And then lots of embraces before the tip and after the game. The win for the Dubs, though. And I think for Klay, this has got to offer some closure a little bit. The way that he was celebrated in returning and all the captain's hats. The entire arena is full of the captain's hats. I asked Tim Roy. So Tim Roy joined us live on the show at the top of our second hour. He had just left the arena and he was finally done with his radio responsibilities. And if you missed it, you can catch it on our podcast on this weekday morning. And I asked him about Klay and whether or not he's found the joy that he had lost. And Tim did mention that last year was really tough on Klay. He had such high expectations for himself being in that place with all the memories and obviously having come back from the two injuries, but not being quite the same guy. And yeah, the word undervalued was thrown around. And we know that Klay was not happy last year. He got benched. And even though he came back into the starting lineup, he just didn't feel like he fit in there anymore. And so he wanted a fresh start. And I asked him about his joy and he said, yeah, you can tell Klay's really happy. Lots of smiles. He's back to being no maintenance Klay. And that's what the Warriors wanted for them. Steph said, that's what I want for him with the Mavericks is that he would have joy, that they would enjoy playing together. So if you missed that conversation with Tim, good stuff from inside the arena as Klay returns. He didn't recognize the court, though, because it looked completely different as part of the NBA Cup. I don't know if the fans care as much. Maybe when it gets to Vegas, but this is a thing now for many sports. Could you imagine if the NFL decided to do something like an in-season tournament?
Oh, no. The amount of injuries for that?
But, yeah, it's really just regular season games, except that the Final Four go to Vegas, right?
Play more regular season games. Win money.
Oh, well, that's true. You win money. No, you don't play more. It's still 82 regular season games.
Yeah, but they redo their schedule, which is they're playing games technically that are the same as they would play on a regular Saturday night.
Okay. And the way that we're supposed to know is the court.
Yes.
That's how we're supposed to know.
Well, Tuesday, Fridays, too.
I'm sure that the facilities team really appreciate the fact that they have to. Especially in those places where there's also hockey and they have to go from colored court to regular court to hockey, back to green court or blue court and then regular court and then hockey.
And throw in a concert and then you're like, oh.
That's right. Making overtime, if you will. So it was good. I got teary over Clay back at the Bay Area. I'm glad it's out of the way, but it's still jarring to see him in a Mavericks uniform, though I am very glad that he's happy. And Ryan, we should remind people that he's a big fan of the show. We're not getting rid of this. I don't care how many other teams he plays for. This is still one of my prized possessions.
This is Clay Thompson, four-time champion with the Golden State Warriors.
Still true.
You're listening to one of the best shows in America, After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Let's go! See, not getting rid of that. I have it recorded. We've got it saved. I've got it in an email. Never getting rid of that. It's still true. He's still a four-time champion with the Golden State Warriors.
What if he gets traded back and it's five? Like late in his career.
All right, we'll cross that bridge when we come to it, troublemaker. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Here's our latest sports update.
The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast. You're listening to After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Firing for the end zone. Caught! Touchdown! Touchdown!
Takes it himself to the pylon. Touchdown!
One man to beat 10. He's gone.
They throw in the end zone. Caught! Touchdown! Fade a guy miss. He's inside the five. He's to the 3-2-1. Touchdown! Feathers helping into the end zone.
The people have spoken, and one score stands above the rest. Here is your TD of the week.
Cordero Patterson has checked into the game. He is to the left of Wilson in the shotgun. Three receivers split to the right, one prior move to the left. Jefferson motions close to Pickens, still split out on the right side. Russell Wilson again changing the play, touching his helmet. Now lifts up the leg, gets a snap, looking to the right. He's going to loft towards the corner of the end zone and Pickens. Oh, my goodness. What a catch by George Pickens. An amazing catch in the back of the end zone.
The call on Steelers radio, by far your choice for After Hours Touchdown of the Week. Thanks for voting on TD or Touchdown Tuesday for that special TD. And it was kind of tough, actually, because George Pickens, as he's laying out, twisting, so he creates separation from the defender. We saw that. Then he kind of pushes backward, twists, so he's facing the ball. I'm doing it right now, Ryan. Can you tell, by the way? And he lays out, and he catches that ball. That has got to be one of the candidates for catch of the year, even though we're just through week 10, right? We confirmed it was through week 10. Ryan and I had a bit of a speed bump earlier trying to figure out if it was 10 or 11. They all blend together. But then Mike Williams with the game-winning touchdown catch, and he wasn't even supposed to be on the field, and he didn't know the play. Russell Wilson told him what to do, and he went out and he catches what is the eventual game winner against the Commanders in a really tight game. But thank you for voting. We like to do our TD of the week, our Monday MVP, just to work in some of these fun calls from the football weekend. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, and you can always find our polls on our Facebook page, although not really in poll form, and then on our show Twix at Amy After Hours. Speaking of Mike Williams, if you missed it, this is kind of cool. He was talking to Sirius XM NFL Radio about the week that was, in which he started as a Jet and finished as a Steeler.
It was crazy.
You know, I went from taking a nap to, you know, a phone call waking me up telling me I was coming to Pittsburgh. And I had a flight in a couple hours, and I just had to figure out what bag I was taking. And, you know, I ended up practicing Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and then game Sunday. And they just told me what was up in the game plan. And, you know, I had a good week of practice. And game time came, and just for me was just going out there playing fast and, you know, taking advantage of every opportunity. I got the one opportunity, and, you know, it was to, you know, win the game. And I was able to, you know, go out there and make that play.
He said also it was just a simple go route. But again, Russ told him what to do because he doesn't know the terminology, doesn't know the terms that they're using or the phrases that they're using to call that particular play. But a go route is a go route. And so he went. He was able to haul in the pass. He was also asked about leaving a team that isn't currently sporting a winning record or a winning attitude, actually. And I said this earlier, would you rather be the Jets or the Jets? So the New York Jets, they're at 3-7. And while technically, mathematically, they're still alive for the playoffs, if the Dolphins can be hopeful at 3-6, I suppose the Jets can be at 3-7. Already fired their head coach. It's a disaster. Just wait, Ryan. It's only going to be a couple more weeks. It's already starting. People pointing the fingers at Aaron Rodgers and how this was the catalyst that has caused the franchise to implode from the inside. It's already starting. Of former NFL MVP heard him say that he completely changed the tenor of the entire room, just cast this shadow in this pall, and that it, you know, was not going to work because of the fact that he just changes everything, where the sun, moon, and the stars have to revolve around Aaron Rodgers. It's going to happen. He's going to get blamed for all of it.
It's already happened.
Yeah, starting to get. But I feel like it's going to get louder and louder because he's the one kind of, I don't want to say cog in the wheel because that would imply there are other cogs. He's the centerpiece. He's the fulcrum. Oh, what a good word. He's the fulcrum around which the Jets were revolving. Not only before they got him, bringing in pieces that they thought would entice him, like Alan Lazard, Dalvin Cook was after, but just trying to bring in pieces. Nathaniel Hackett. Then he gets there, four plays in, and maybe, just maybe, it works the first year. I have no idea. But four plays in, and they decide they can't. They just can't move on. They're going to try to run it back, so to speak. But what was there to run back? They didn't actually have a prototype for winning. They just had some hopes that they refused to let go of. And so he's already, who knows? People are already speculating about whether or not he plays somewhere else next year. Weird. Just, I know some athletes do it, but a weird way to end your Hall of Fame career. But, I mean, it's uncanny, is it not? I wouldn't be surprised if he ends up back in the NFC North. Because this is what Brett Favre did. He went from the Packers to the Jets, and then the whole photo scandal, and ends up with the Vikings, which is where he really wanted to be the entire time.
There is an opening, potentially. Sam Darnold's been throwing a lot of interceptions.
Do you think they do that? Oh, come on. That just happened.
A lot of interceptions.
They're still a 7-win team. Do you think that they would do that to J.J. McCarthy, though?
Hey, it happens to every young quarterback, maybe. I don't know.
But not a Hall of Fame, dude.
Well, okay. I'd say maybe he needs another year to learn.
Mm.
Well, you can't really say much because it's Aaron Rodgers, but
right.
Maybe he helps him.
Or maybe, just maybe, Aaron believes it's time to retire. I just think he's the stubborn type of personality who doesn't want to go out on a sour note. He does not want to go out like this. It's a little bit like the three-point shooter who refuses to leave the gym after a missed shot. He's not going out like this.
But for him, it's only going to keep going down. It's only going to get worse.
So in your opinion, it's about his diminished skills as a quarterback, not about the Jets and their
well, he can move.
Culture.
It's everything. He can't move. He's inaccurate. It's a bunch of everything. The O-line doesn't, I don't know, block for him. But he can't avoid sacks, so he does nothing. He's useless.
Wow. That's the hot take from Ryan. He's
not even hot. He's just doesn't even do anything.
It's a cold take. He's useless. So this is, I try to be a little more diplomatic than that. That sounds kind of personal.
He personally hasn't won them a game the entire year. It's been everybody around him.
What about the Hail Mary at the halftime? What game was that?
They lost that game.
They did lose that game. Yeah. Was that the Bills? I can't remember now. I just remember that it was a halftime and it wasn't, the game wasn't even over. And they might have not scored a touchdown again after that, but I could have been wrong. That's the thing, is that there aren't really many highlights. And when that's your one highlight in a game that you lost. But back to the original point, which is that they are 3-7. The Dolphins are 3-6, and they feel like they're on the rise now, and they are a playoff team waiting to happen in the AFC. So it really is about attitude. But which Jets would you rather be? Those Jets stuck in Aaron Rodgers limbo, Aaron Rodgers purgatory, or the other Jets, the Winnipeg Jets, who are now 15 of 16 out of the gate? That's pretty sweet.
It's cold, though, in Winnipeg.
Okay, first of all, you don't know that it's cold yet. Second of all, I like the cold. Don't you sleep better in the cold?
I do, but like when it's like 3 degrees, it's not that
pleasant.
Sounds
amazing. Half my family's from Wisconsin, so I'm all about that. The year that the Super Bowl was in Minneapolis, it was a couple years ago, well, a few years ago now, and I drove, after finishing the show on Friday morning, I left Minneapolis and drove into Wisconsin, where I was going to spend the weekend with my Grammy Helen. The temps, and this is without wind chills, on the temperature gauge of the car, so inside of the rental car, minus 16, and that was without wind chills. It was so cold that week in Minnie, but I was in heaven. It was snowed every day. It was great. I'm not sure they're ever going to send the Super Bowl back there, but it was really cool.
They wanted to show off the roller coasters and everything else in the mall.
Yeah, in the Mall of America. Oh, man, that was the worst radio row, though, because we were packed in like sardines. You could not move. And then there were fans outside the ropes. And so it's just a mass of humanity. While we're talking NFC North, though, by this point, you know that Matt Eberflus has started to make changes. So this is now another team that's fired its offensive coordinator. Eberflus survives, but Shane Waldron is out. He's not even been on the job for a year. And the question was whether or not the captains will have a say in the new offensive coordinator.
I talked to the guys about everything. You know, I talked to them about, in terms of, the temperature of the team, how the guys are doing chemistry-wise, how the relationships are between each guy. You know, I don't visit with players about play callers and all that stuff. That's for the coaches.
Seriously, is that what it's come down to now? We want to know if the captains are going to pick the OC. And as Ryan points out, you just said in my ear, that was even before Shane Waldron got fired. Somebody was going to pay, though, because the Bears' offense is rough. They haven't scored a touchdown since the Roschon Johnson touchdown at the end of the Commanders game that got completely usurped. It was supposed to be a game winner, but got usurped by the Commanders' Hail Mary to Noah Brown. That was the last time they scored a touchdown. So it's a mess right now. They'd rather be the Winnipeg Jets as well, to be perfectly honest. They've elevated their passing game coordinator to OC for now. Isn't Caleb Williams a captain? I think he is. It's kind of a funny question to ask after when your OC is on the way out. Hey, do you think your rookie quarterback will have a say in the new OC? They've not done this. This is fun. Well, just because I like history. The Bears have not changed offensive coordinators midseason since Perry Moss in 1970. None of us were around. Well, none of us, as in those of us here on the show, were not around. But because of the recent struggles of their quarterback, they've lost three in a row with just 27 points over that whole stretch. And their yards per game are down. They're in the bottom of the NFL. So, yeah, right now it's a mess. Now, I still say you've got an O-line who is allowing your quarterback to get sacked 9 times, get hit another 13 times, and he's got essentially pressure in his face all day long. It's probably not just the quarterback's fault. It's just an outsider's observation. Enjoy your hump day. We'll talk to you tonight. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Boom!
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.